Our reading today is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 20. There we read verses 24 through 31 in Jesus' name. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered him and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, what a life-changing sight 10 of Jesus' disciples beheld on the night of the very first Easter. What deep comfort they must have received when the risen one came to them and showed them his scarred hands and feet and stomach, the places where the nails had been driven and the spear had been thrust into him. What ironclad proof that it was really him. No mere ghost, now in his exalted, resurrected body, he passed through the locked doors of the room to be with his friends. And there he bestowed upon them the gift of peace with God that he had won for them and for all of us by his dying on the cross. We know that a certain disciple by the name of Thomas was not present with the others when Jesus came to them that night. So Thomas did not see and hear what the others had seen and heard. And unfortunately, Thomas subscribed to the philosophy which says, seeing is believing. So when the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord," Thomas answered, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So Thomas obviously was what we would call a skeptic, one who needed visual, hands-on proof of what he was asked to believe. But his first and bigger mistake was being absent when he should have been present. Wherever he had gone during that period of time, after Jesus was arrested and then killed and then buried, Thomas chose not to stay in the company of his fellow believers, his fellow disciples. In doing this, he cut himself off from the strength and comfort and encouragement he should have received by being together with them. And then his second and even bigger mistake was that he forgot about the promises and the power of the Lord. Thomas forgot that Jesus promised him he would rise again on the third day. He'd forgotten about the miracles he'd already witnessed. And so he discounted what the others told him. His skepticism demanded hands-on proof. He would have to touch Jesus' wounds before he would be convinced. We know that there are many like Thomas. They make it a habit to stay away from the fellowship of the church. So when a crisis or a tragedy or a loss occurs in their lives, they become suspicious of God, distrusting of his love, and doubtful of his ability to help them. We, like Thomas, separate ourselves from hearing God's word sometimes, and when we do that, we're not in the presence of our fellow believers as they worship, and our faith becomes weak. Thomas should have been instantly relieved and comforted by the good news that they shared with him about seeing the Lord, but he wasn't. He doubted their report. He demanded further evidence before he would accept it. And so Thomas remained in his fear and grief and disappointment. That same seeing is believing approach to things is quite common among us in our culture. We're all subject to that. However, we have a Lord who encourages in us a different philosophy, namely that believing is seeing. So John says in our text, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You and I, of course, do not have the opportunity now to see and to touch Jesus like those first disciples did, and yet we are not at all deprived, for the Lord has given to us his true and certain word so that we may believe things that we can't see. That word which shows us Jesus crucified for our sins, risen from the dead, that word is inspired by God the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul wrote, "All scripture is God-breathed." And St. Peter reminds us, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Why has God given us his inspired and trustworthy word? The purpose is to point us to our Savior so that by the working of the Holy Spirit, we may be brought to believe in him and so be saved from our sins, saved for life everlasting in heaven. John goes on in our reading, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We don't have the complete catalog of all of Jesus' miracles which he performed during his ministry here on earth. In fact, at the very end of his gospel account, John marvels. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. But what is given to us, what is recorded, is intended to bring us to believe in Jesus and in everything he did and in everything he taught. Such faith worked in us holds on to the Savior in every circumstance of life, and it keeps us tied securely to him through times of sorrow and sickness and loss and discouragement. The faith worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit through his inspired word leads us to cancel some things we can see, and it brings us to rely on some things that we cannot see. That faith in our risen Savior and Redeemer prevails over all of our feelings and all of our emotions. Sometimes, like Thomas, you and I may feel doubtful or tentative or even so full of guilt that we hardly dare to believe the good news of our salvation from hell. Sometimes, like the psalm writer, we're led to ask ourselves, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? But then with our Lord strengthening our faith by his word of forgiveness, which we get to hear, we're moved to say and believe, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. The Lord who has risen from the dead, just as he promised, and who is alive now and forever, is with us. He is with us by his word to wipe away all of our doubts so that we believe what we can't see and that we see clearly what he tells us in his word. He is with us now to send us out into the world with that powerful message of pardon and peace for a guilty and chaotic and turbulent world. May our Lord preserve us in the faith until that beautiful day when we are gifted with the perfect vision and the perfect peace with God in heaven. For Jesus' sake, amen. And let us pray. Please rise. We pray you, merciful God, keep us free from the world's dead faith, which receives your grace in vain. Free us from the doubting thoughts of our own believing hearts, which do not fully and completely let you rule over us with the truth of life. Give to us the true faith, the living faith, which builds simply on your word, receives your grace, confesses your name, and makes the soul confident in life and in death. Amen. And now we sing again hymn 364, verses 5 and 6. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.